You have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 is where I'm going to be speaking from today. The title of the message is Complete Joy. The final verse of this section, in verse 24, it says, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name." I have to do it right. "Until now you have asked nothing in my name." I learned it in the NIV, I believe. "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Now, I have a question as we begin to go about the message today. Are you a joyful person? Now, I would ask for a show of hands, but if you're sitting next to somebody that might be a spouse of yours, if you are somebody that knows you well, and you raise your hand and said, "Yeah, I'm a joyful person," they might look over you and say, "Well, you weren't so joyful this morning." Or, "What about Thursday afternoon? You were kind of a crank." So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I ask of you today, are you a joyful person, or are you a crank? Now, I probably shouldn't look at anybody, because then they're going to be like, "How come you looked at me when you said that?" I'm looking at everybody. Are you a crank? Are you a monotonously emotional person? Are you crabby? Are you excited for each day and your life, and you're like, "Man, this is a great day, and I'm so excited about it. I think God wants us to live in joy every day. I wonder if your joy tank is full." If you just have like, "Man, I can't get any more in. I'm just full of joy." And when people saw you this morning, you're just like a big smile, and you're just walking around. Now, some of us have this ability where we just have a smile on our face all the time. But some of us just kind of have the serious look. There are some of you just kind of look serious at times. And it's like, okay, you do something there and put a little smile on your face. "Well, I've got things, I understand you have things going on, but how's your joy tank? Is it full? Are you running on empty?" I trust that as God speaks through his message, that God's joy will just fill you up and overflow you with his joy. I choose to believe that you, like I, were bombarded with feelings this last week as we received all this media information and what's going on. And I think we were bombarded with not joy. It wasn't like, "Yes, March Madness is not happening. Yes, no state basketball. Yes, school is closed." There's a couple that are joyful about that, of course. I doubt there was a lot of joy this last week. There was feelings, and whether you let these come into you or not, there were feelings that were bombarding you of disbelief, concern, anxiety, worry, madness. I may not have caught your emotion exactly, but what this last week's undertaking has stifled some of our joy, and it's taken it away because all the frustration. So I hope today, as we share from God's word, your joy will be re-energized, renewed, and it will just be full today. If you join me in God's word, I'm going to read from John chapter 16. I'm going to start at verse 16 and go through verse 24. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, it's on the chair Bible near you on page 902 and 903. If you're an underliner of your Bible, feel free to underline whatever sticks out to you today. Or if you have an electronic gadget, you can highlight that. Here's what it says. But don't do that in the chair Bible in front of you for the next person. Verse 16. "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me? And because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. If you want to write down some notes, I have some notes for you. Point number one, Jesus reaffirms he is going away. If you look back in chapter 16, verse 5, you will see that Jesus has already said, I'm going away. Now he is telling them this again. Why? Because of what will happen to them. They will be filled with sorrow. Now, there are some people, when they come to our house, when they leave, we are filled with sorrow. Now, there are some people, when they leave, we are not filled with sorrow. We aren't sad to see them leaving. We say, here, you want some help carrying your bag to the curb? I'll make sure you get into your vehicle just fine. However, there are others that we don't really want to see leave. We're sorrowful. We want them to stay and are actually quite sad. This is the disciples. They're saying, where are you going to go? And they're going to be filled with sorrow. When I was a kid, I was kind of a mama's boy, and I loved to be around my parents. And it happened to be that there was one time my parents were going to go out on a date, and that wasn't, I don't think, very often, but they were going to go out on a date, and the babysitter came, and somehow I slipped through everybody's hands, and I beat them to the car because I didn't want them to go, and I wanted to stay with mom and dad. I was sorrowful because my parents were going to leave. They ushered me back into the house and duct taped me to my bed. No, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. But I appreciate this about Jesus. He is giving them instructions saying, I'm going to leave and you're going to be sorrowful, but it's just going to be a little while. So stay with me. I believe God instructs us and he tells us these things. And so we're not just left, well, what am I supposed to do? We can look in God's word. The second thing I want you to see is Jesus tells them that they will be filled with sorrow. Jesus tells them they're going to be filled with sorrow. My first response is, well, isn't that nice? But we are filled with sorrow when someone goes away. Obviously, they were going to be filled with sorrow because Jesus was going to be leaving. But then he says that your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. And he gives an example of a child being born. Now, for me, it's kind of a weird analogy. Now, I have four kids, of course, and I understand the joy that a child brings. But I'm a guy. I don't understand the pain of childbirth. Now, if you talk to me about the time that the room got really hot and I almost passed out three times, I could tell you about that with one of my children being born. But I wasn't going through the pain of childbirth. I don't understand that specifically. However, there are some of you that are ladies in the room who have the awesome opportunity to give birth to a child. And it's one of those things, those of you who are ladies, that some of you, almost as you're leaving the hospital, you're like, well, let's think about having another one. And you're like, what in the world? We just went through 9 months. Do you remember not sleeping the last 2 months? Do you remember how uncomfortable you were? Do you remember what was happening in the delivery room, dear? I mean, that was not a good... Do you remember what you said to me? My wife never said anything bad to me in the delivery room. However, there are some of you that are ladies in the room who, if we rerun the clock a little bit, you'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have said that right then and there. But I was in a lot of pain. How do you go from this is extremely terrible to this is wonderful? I don't understand that. I'm a guy. And all the men in the room say, amen. Sorrow comes to joy. I want to pause for a moment because maybe God has shared this with us this morning. You may not be going through the pains of childbirth right now. If you are, leave and go to the hospital, please. But maybe there's something like that that's going on in your spiritual life, your emotional life right now, that it just feels very, very painful. And it's very difficult. And you are filled with sorrow. As I think of some of the situations that you are in, I can't think of all of those, but it may be with a family member. It may be of a job situation. It may be a financial situation. And you're filled with sorrow. And you really don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I can't say exactly how long the childbirth is going to last. But I believe if God's on the throne, and He is, that He is going to see you through that. And so I just share that as a word of encouragement for somebody. You may be smack dab in the middle of something that seems overwhelming, and I encourage you, keep hanging in there. God is going to see you through. God will get you through. Don't abandon the ship. Don't skip the boat. Don't back off. Keep moving forward. If I may jump back to childbirth for just a moment or two without being too graphic. There is a time where there are some of you who are women who are like, I'm done, I'm exhausted, and I can't go through this any longer. And at that point in time, it's like, no, we're going to complete this deal here, and a baby's going to come. I want to encourage you, if it's not childbirth, it's something in your life. And you may be the oldest person in the room or the youngest person in the room. Continue to go on. You may not be in actual childbirth, but it's like childbirth. It's sorrowful now, but it'll be better later. Actually, if that's happening in your life right now, let me give you 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's what it says. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Sorrow is real, but so is joy. And then on the flip side of things, aren't you thankful for sorrow? Some of you can be thankful for some sorrow you've been through because it shows you how joyful you can be. Now, if you're going through sorrow right now, that's not really one of those times you're like, yes. But when you look back in times of sorrow in your life and how God has changed that into joy, He does that so wonderfully. Maybe you wouldn't really know what real joy was without sorrow. And I believe Jesus experienced sorrow on the cross for us, and that was turned to joy. And so know that His sorrow gives us joy. I read this morning in a devotional, so please hear these words from Oswald Chambers. When darkness of dismay comes, endure until it is over, because out of it will come that following of Jesus, which is an unspeakable joy. The third thing I want you to see is this. We can keep our joy. We can keep our joy. Verse 22, this is one of those things that you may want to underline. It says, and no one will take your joy from you. It's not just happiness. We receive happiness from many things. Video games, a job well done, a tax refund, a high five, not today, of course, a made shot, delicious food, a roll of toilet paper, a candy bar, a fast car, a great computer, soda, coffee, working and fast internet, pictures. We can have happiness through those things, can't we? But this is Jesus saying, you will have joy unspeakable. We can keep that. Why? because the things that bring us happiness, they come and go. Joy, though, is an emotion that is beyond our surfacey happiness. And we can receive joy because of our hope of eternal life, of the fact to know that the creator of the universe is on our side, and we can have that joy. Isaiah 35, verse 10. And the ransom the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Keep your joy. It may be hard, but it can be done. Number four, whatever you ask for, God will give it to you. Whatever you ask for, God will give it to you. Now, the Word of God says you must ask in the Father's name, and you can't go at this by yourself. And so let me try to explain this for just a couple of moments and try to use a couple of illustrations. Say my kids, one of my children came to me and said, I'd like to have a $70,000 truck. Do you think they'd get it? Well, you never know. I mean, may want to do it somewhere along the way. Could I get them a $70,000 truck? I probably could. There's a lot of banks around Rapid City that want to take my interest and charge me $140,000 for my $70,000 truck. Is that what I want for them? Probably not. We have a truck that works. Is it the best for them? Maybe, maybe not. Would they come and ask me for that? At lunchtime, they probably will now, but they probably would not because that's not in my nature. That's not who I am. I'm just not one. Dad, you know, I was thinking, you know, it's my birthday coming up, or I just had my birthday, and I'm thinking maybe I could, that would be a good birthday present, wouldn't it be, Dad? Not in my nature. But let's say my kids ask me for a treat, some chocolate, maybe some kind of a dessert of some kind. Am I willing to give that to them most of the time? Probably, because why? It doesn't cost them much. It's more in my nature. Or another way to look at it, let's say that I pass on, that I leave from this life and go on to eternal life, which I will someday. And let's say it goes in order kind of like what we think it is, that a dad will pass away before children. That doesn't always happen, of course. But hear this. When I pass on, and even when my kids leave from the home, they are going to think about, they are going to ponder through, and they are going to wonder through many things of how Manel and I have raised them. They're going to possibly reject some of the ways that we've done that, and they're going to accept some of those things. Why? Because it's through me, it's through us as we have raised them. Does that make sense? It's in Dad's name. It's through Dad that I'm kind of thinking about these things. Or another way to look at it is this. Let's say my child is looking for a job, and an employer knows me and respects me. They might drop my name into the conversation to say, oh, what's your last name? Oh, Selfridge. Oh, yeah, we have a job for you. And it's my name that's going to help them instead of just, my name is Hudson. Oh, that's nice. That's nice that you have a name named Hudson. But when he adds the Selfridge to the end, it does so much more because of a name. Or reverse of that. Yeah, Steve sent me here to get a job here. Oh, Steve. Yeah. Sorry, no job available for you here today. When we invoke the name of Jesus, something different happens than just dropping a name of someone famous or powerful or talented. When we ask in the Father's name, we ask for all of heaven, and it's His power and it's His kingdom that we ask. Philippians 2:10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Revelation 5:13, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. When you ask in the Father's name, something changes. Please hear this quote. Asking of the Father shows a sense of spiritual wants and a desire of spiritual blessings with conviction that they are to be had from God only. Asking in Christ's name is acknowledging our unworthiness to receive any favor from God and shows full dependence upon Christ as the Lord, our righteousness. When we ask in the Father's name, we're saying, we are needy people. Would you please do this? Verse 24. There's two words that I want you to catch at the beginning of the verse. Until now. You've been there, I've been there, all of us have been there. We have been in places that we have forgotten to ask for God's power. We've forgotten to ask in Jesus' name. We've got to ask for his wisdom. We go about our life and we have manly wisdom. God's given us manly wisdom. But there are moments of each part of our day we should just be saying, God, in your name, would you show us, and not be able to say, until now. Every one of us has fallen short in that. Don't do that. Make prayer in Jesus' name be your first option, not, oh, yeah, maybe we should pray about that. And then number five, your joy may be full. Some translations say full. Another one says complete. Another one says abundant joy. What does full mean? How full can you be? Can you slide in some more joy today? Is your joy tank exploding with joy? Not just a passing happiness for that video game or whatever it is that brings you happiness, but joy. John 15, 11, Jesus has already said that your joy may be full in John chapter 15, verse 11. What is this joy for? Is it getting what we need? Is it getting what we want? Is it getting material happiness? I think it means getting ourselves full of God, actually, not full of what we want. And I don't think this is a one-time thing. I'm full. I'm all good. I don't need any more. I think it means we need to be refilled. We need to be bumped up again. We need the encouragement again. And that's why we read God's word, because God's word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and it's able to give us more joy. One commentator says, your joy will be independent of the chances and changes of the world. There will be nothing lacking. But this joy is not just for you, but it must be for others as well. Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. was a member of the United States Supreme Court for 30 years. And he had the unofficial title of the greatest justice since John Marshall. And at one point in his life, Justice Holmes explained his career of the choice of his career by saying, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. Now that's a mark on me. But what about you this week? As people ask you, well, what do you think about the coronavirus? As people ask you about things in your life and the stock market, is there the joy that's just flowing out of you that people just see it in your demeanor? Our joy in Jesus should be the greatest thing. Recently, I talked about how it'd be nice if church became the middle of society, but it hasn't been. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus was in the middle of everything instead of Fox News and CNN and the Weather Channel and sports and video games and books and physical pleasures, even our own family members? What if we had Jesus? He would be our joy. C.S. Lewis, you've probably heard the quote before, but here's what he says: our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. we are far too easily pleased. Can we have fullness of joy every day, all the time, everywhere? I believe we can. I'll tell you, I'm not there yet, and I wonder if all of us are. And then James and Paul, they say it in this way. James 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. If you're a person in the room, they can say, this is a joyful day. This is a great trial. Praise be to God. You can only do that with God's power. Or in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. What trial are you going through? May God's overflowing and unspeakable joy be given to you, and may it be full, and may others see that. Even if you are overwhelmed, God's joy can touch you deeply. There was a third century man who was anticipating death, and he penned these last words to a friend. May these words encourage you today. Here were his words. Third century. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. And then here's the quote that's on the screen. These people are Christians, and I am one of them. This past week, there's been a number of things that have gone, and we see how the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And how quickly we think we have everything under control, but how quickly everything can change. As we pray today at the close of our service, I want you to know that God is still on the throne. And despite everything that's happening, even in all the sorrow, the greatest sorrow, there can be joy. And I'm going to pray for you this week that as you go from this place, that there will just be some great joy that comes in your life even right now and throughout this week. And others will see that and they will say, I want that joy. Would you stand with me today? Let me pray for you. Thank you, God, that you sent your son Jesus to our world. Thank you for the hope of eternal life that you have given to us. Thank you for the fact that if we're to pass away today, we know through the blood of Jesus and have a relationship with you that we have a home in heaven. Thank you for that. And I pray that if there be somebody here this morning who's not entered into a relationship with you this morning, they would say yes to you, they would repent of their sins, and they would choose to follow after you. I pray that you would be with that individual that came in this morning. There is great sorrow in their life. They do not have joy. I pray even right now you would pour joy into them and they would be full and overflowing with great joy. I pray that you would help that individual get through this sorrowful time, that you would be their all in all, that they would ask in your name for that to happen and that you would do that. God, I pray that we would ask in your name, that we would not forget the power that is in your name. And then God, I pray right now that you would give us your joy and that your joy would be full in our lives. There may be somebody who's going through a great trial. May they count it all joy today. And may you raise them up and may you enable them to have great joy. As we go from this place today, may we share of the joy with people that we come in contact with. May we not be fearful, but may we rest in you because of your power and your grace. God, protect us from the evil one. give us of your strength, and may your joy be full in our lives. We ask of that, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.